So I mentioned last week that I had been with Glenn that day before. Pastor Glenn was in the hospital a week ago Saturday. He shared with me, as I think I told you last week, his excitement, his enthusiasm for this ministry that God's entrusted to us. We sang this song day by day and with each passing moment, a heritage song for the covenant, an old Swedish song, I think it is. As we sang around his bedside, praying for the strength that he needed right then and there in these days, strength day by day through the challenge. But as I mentioned, what really struck me as we prayed that day, as we shared, was his sense of enthusiasm for what lies ahead, the hope of heaven was a glorious hope for him, but also this sense of loss that he would miss preaching and leading worship and being a part of the mission of God here on earth. And it has struck me as we've gone through this week, and as I've faced challenges in ministry, what a privilege it is for me to have this opportunity, this day, these days that God gives me. And the invitation that God gives us to take hold of every day we're given, each opportunity we're given, and to bring the best that we can, because this isn't going to last forever. I mean, that's amazing, especially if you're younger here today. You might feel like, what's that all? It's amazing. Glenn was young one day. He was 4 years old when he was in a church play, and he stepped forward with his one line that said, "God loves you," and he stamped his foot and said, "And I mean it," which was ad-libbing. But you know, that passion was in him from a very young age. And throughout his life, he loved to bring the gifts that God had given him in service to our Lord and as a blessing to the community. That's what this life is all about. And sometimes it feels like I just want to run away. I can't really accomplish anything good. It's too overwhelming. But we need to come back to that place where we remember that this is our chance. This is the life we've been given. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's live it. Let's serve as fully as we can. Let's bring the gifts that God has given us, whether it's just a few little meagerly, pieces of bread, or whether it's some beautiful cake, whatever it might be that God's entrusted to us, let's bring it today. Let's participate in the good that God wants to accomplish. We're going to be talking about 1 Peter, this letter that the Apostle Peter wrote to the churches, the people living in this region we now call Turkey, back 2,000 years ago. They were facing a time in which things seemed to be getting more difficult. Life was tough. It's challenging. They're being persecuted for their faith. And Peter writes to them to say, don't lose heart. In fact, run all the harder right now. Paul talks about this, running the race, the author of Hebrews says, run the race. And Peter talks about this too. In fact, in today's passage, he says this, dear friends, I'll read that in a second. He says this, the end of all things is near. It's like that finish line is out in front of you. You can see it. Can you see it? Right now, it's out there. It might be Christ coming back long before you die, or it might be you facing that day like Glenn did this past week where this life comes to an end and you actually die. It's going to happen one way or the other for all of us. Do you see that end line is in view? The end is coming near. The end of all things is near. And so Peter writes with that end in sight, therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may, and I'm going to stop there for a moment. As we run this race, he's saying, stay alert, stay of sober mind as you run. so that you might do something. What's it going to be? You know, I think about the hockey player. I remember hearing about Wayne Gretzky way back in the day when he was skating, and people would say how he was so fast on the ice. He was amazing playing, but he seemed to think in slow motion. It was like he could see the ice, and he could see what was happening, and he could process it and make decisions in slow motion, even as he's moving fast, so that he could put the puck where it needed to be, so that he could get where he needed to go. That's what Peter's talking about here. When the competition's getting tough, when things are getting difficult, be alert. Be of sober mind so that you're not just caught up in the anxiety. You're not just caught up in all the troubles. You're not just getting worried. You can think about your choices and you can make decisions deliberately. Be alert and of sober mind, especially when things get difficult, so that you may, what do you think? I'm almost surprised as I read the scripture this past week and it says pray. I'm thinking that it's going to say so that you can cross the finish line, so that you can beat the competition, so that you can, you know, jump tall buildings. But no, it's so that you can pray. Because as Jesus tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Actually, prayer is the fundamental need that we have as human beings to be in that constant relationship with God, to be present to God as God is always present to us. This is what the Apostle Paul talks about when he says, pray without ceasing. You know, that we would live life in relationship with God so that when we're heading out the door with God, we know it. We're thoughtful that we're going out into this world in relationship to God. As we go into this room today, we're going in not just on our own, but God is with us as we go. And we can talk to God as we go about the challenge going on, about this anxiety that's rising in our hearts, about this opportunity that's presenting itself, about this anger that we're beginning to feel. We're communicating with God, and that channel of prayer is open so that we can listen for God's voice in the midst of whatever's going on. And we can share our heart with God in the midst of all that's going on. This is that channel of life that we need to keep open. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And then Peter goes on, above all, okay, as you're heading to the finish line, what do you think is going to follow that? Above all, stay with it, hang in there, keep going. Work harder. I mean, of course, it's all of that. But what does he say above all? If we think about it for a while, you might come up with it. It's love each other deeply. For love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, that love that flows out without grumbling. This love deeply. That word love there, you know, if you may be familiar that in Greek there are these three different words. You know, they can be a sentimental kind of a love. There can be this desiring love that wants from another person. And there's this agape love, which, whether the feelings are there or not, chooses to act in a loving manner, in a way that's good for the other people. That's the word that Peter uses here. That as you're approaching that finish line, as things are getting tougher, as the competition is increasing, love deeply. It's all the more important when things are going crazy around you, when the world is up for grabs. It's all the more important that you dig deep to do what is most essential as a follower of Jesus Christ, to love deeply. And that word deeply actually does, in the Greek, come from the idea of a racehorse that's approaching the finish line, and the runner who's sprinting at the very end of the race and is going to give every last ounce of energy they have. Dig deep because the finish line's coming. Dig deep and bring up that love. Love your family. Love one another. Love your neighbor. And yeah, even dig deep and love your enemy. You've really got to dig deep for this kind of love. But as we're approaching that finish line, that's the call to be praying, to be loving deeply. And then he goes on, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to, and I'll stop there again. Pastor John was talking about this a couple of weeks ago when she talked about the temptations that Jesus faced. Why do you think you've been given the gifts you've been given, the resources you've been given? Is it so that you can get ahead in life? Is it so that you can be the most powerful, the most popular, whatever it might be? Certainly you're supposed to care for your body, for this life, be responsible with it. You're supposed to care for your family. But actually, you know, Jesus said, I came, the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. And those who follow him, they're going to serve too. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Not just for your own benefit, although God wants you to enjoy the gifts he gives, but to offer them in service to others. I was reading a study recently, talked about healthy marriages. When the partners do good things for each other, it makes the marriage healthier. Does that surprise anybody? But what was surprising, what was interesting is that even when the other person didn't notice the good things that their partner did for them, it made the marriage healthier, in part because the person who did the good deed, like making coffee or taking out the trash or fixing the bit, whatever it might be, if they did it in service to the other person, the person who was serving felt better about themselves and felt better about their relationship. We serve not just for the benefit of others. We serve because we've talked about this before. We were created to serve. We're created to love. And it's only when we are serving, when we are loving, that we're actually fully alive. No wonder the marriage is healthier, because the person is healthier. We are healthier. And hopefully we do notice from time to time and thank each other too. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. How important that is. You know, not all of us have been given the same gifts. It's God's multitude of various ways of giving to us. You know, that's going to be true when we talk about money in a few moments, is that we don't all here have the same resources out of which we can offer to God in service to him through this church. That's just a reality. And the last thing that I want anybody here to do is to feel bad because they can't give like somebody else can give. And I think of that woman with the two coins, the poor widow who offered her two pennies. And Jesus said, that person gave far more than the ones who were pouring in boatloads of money, because she gave out of what she had been given. That's all God wants. If all you've got are five crummy loaves of bread, bring it on. Give it to Jesus and see what he can do. Because as this passage goes on, I love this. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever. You know, when we serve, when we bring our offerings, we pray that God would work through that, that it would be God's power that enables us to do what we do, so that when people look at it, they say, did you see what God did with those five crummy loaves of bread and two little fish? Did you see what God did with those two pennies that I was able to put in the offering? Did you see what God was able to do when I gave him the little bit that I have? God calls us to serve out of the gifts that we have received, not out of the gifts we haven't received. But we've got to serve with what we've been given. We will never experience the joy of the fullness of life in Christ if we don't join in with what God's doing in this world. This Christian life is not just about reconciling us to God and getting us to heaven. It's about reconciling us to God's purposes and to be a part of what God is doing in this world. Certainly, as Peter gives these couple of examples, I relate to the first one. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. You know, that when I preach, I need to be confident that God's with me. He's been helping me prepare, and I need to go ahead and preach. And Paul would ask people, pray for me that I might preach with boldness. And I've asked you this before, and I ask you again, pray for me that I'll preach with boldness. But I don't think Peter's just talking about preaching here. That every time we speak, we ought to be speaking as if God were speaking through us. You know, the Bible tells us, we read this last week, James said, be slow to speak. Because when you speak, you want it to be as if God were speaking through you. You know, Paul talks about only speaking that which edifies, that which builds up. Boy, we ought to be slow to speak. Boy, we ought to be holding onto our tongue and then prayerful about, okay, in this situation, not just what would Jesus do, but what does Jesus want to say through me right now? What is it that Jesus wants to say through me? If I'm speaking to my children, if I'm speaking to my friend, if I'm speaking to my neighbor,